As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They will use bricks instead of stone." Then they said, "Come, let us build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered all over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people that people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand one another." So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over all the face of the earth. All right, so we're going to talk about the story here. So these people were building a tower, right? They were building up a tower. And the key word here is that they were doing it to make a name for themselves. Now, the Lord was very displeased with that, so he scattered them throughout the earth. Who here has a Facebook or a Snapchat or an Instagram? Yeah? Do you guys post pictures first thing in the morning when you wake up in the morning? No? How about like if you got a booger hanging out of your nose, do you post a picture then? No, we don't usually. Usually, you know, we get our hair nice and we're looking cute, we got our best clothes on, then we take a selfie or we grab our closest friend to come with us to take a selfie. But you know it's because you really want to post a picture of yourself because you look so good. So that's what we post about on Facebook. Sometimes we post about our family. Sometimes we post about our friends. We post about things that are important to us. Sometimes your family. What do you guys post about on Facebook or Instagram? Anybody want to? Go ahead. Her dog. Your dog's important to you then. That's great. How about anybody else? Cats? Okay. All right. Food. Jesus. That's awesome. Ben. Now some people, thanks for that little plug there, that was nice, but some people, they portray things that like are not even them sometimes. Do you ever find that? You find that and you're like, wait a second, I was there that day, that totally didn't happen, or that was like a millisecond of the day. The day was completely different than what that person's trying to portray. The fact of the matter is, we're all building something in our lives. We're building something. It might not be a tower, but maybe we're building a profile on Facebook. We're building a persona. We're building something that other people see and see us from the outside. And just like the people of Babel. But the truth is that Facebook is not bad. That is not the point that I'm trying to make. But there's a temptation for us to make a name for ourselves, to bring glory to ourselves, to bring honor to ourselves. And the problem is with that is that when we build our identity on something other than the rock of Christ, when people don't keep liking our pictures, it could cause us to go on a really downward spiral. We start getting insecure. We start losing our confidence. We start losing even our friends. And we try harder to get more and more people's acceptance. Now, I have a little video that I just wanted to share that kind of goes along with this. And it's about a man who's a celebrity. Here we go.
When did you know that you were an alcoholic?
I don't think you ever really know. I think it creeps up on you. For me, it did anyway.
But did you wonder?
I did, but I didn't care.
Okay, I was going to say, your ego was so big, you didn't care.
It's grandiosity.
Grandiosity, yeah.
But, you know, and at some point, I think you read the book that on my final day, I must have drank 14 bottles of wine.
I know, which is inconceivable to me. When I read that, I thought, gosh, that cannot be true.
Because what happens is, once you start drinking like that, if you stop, you go into a seizure, and your body will tell you, you know, it's medicine, and you just have to get it back. Good news is I'm here.
That you're here and survived it all. But it's shocking because to the outside world, you look like you have the perfect fun job. You're on top of your game. You're all that right. stuff that you, in your early broadcast years, would have been aiming for. So how long had you been drinking?
Well, it didn't kick in until I was about in my mid-50s. Mm-hmm. But the thing about fame is that we are people who love to be loved by strangers. We can't get enough. I'll speak for myself. You can't get enough. You want more, more, more. The only number you have is more. Mm-hmm. And I think famous people, we can name maybe out of all of them, 10 really happy ones, mm-hmm. you know? Because they're
I would be one, but okay.
You are one.
Yeah, I am one.
And they're because you've figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I have too, I think. You know, I wake up every morning now, and I look in the mirror and I say, I want to be the person that I want to be today,
yeah.
not who they want me to be.
Yeah.
And I work for that every day.
I often say for people like, you know, Justin Bieber, the young starlets of today, I think it's harder if it happens to you when you're so young, you're 13, you're 14, and you don't have any idea of what you are, so you just believe what the world tells you. But you were older, you were established, you were, yeah.
But full of myself, mm-hmm. and you'd seen me around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why your chapter's called The Eagle Has Landed.
Right, and full of myself, and that's okay. A lot of people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God I figured it out, and I'm so grateful for all that.
So that was a guy on the red carpet. He introduced all celebrities and all sorts of people, and he was this big guy that everybody knew. And as you could hear from his story, he started drinking. And so many actors and actresses, they come to be loved by strangers. And that's a desire that God has placed inside of us, that we want to be loved by other people. But the whole thing is this man, he based his identity solely around the love of other people. And it consumed him so much that his reality was no longer satisfying for him. He had to drink in excessive to the point where he almost lost his own life, as you heard in the story. And that's what happens with a lot of different people, is that the insecurity, the fear of not being loved consumes you so much. And it's just something that consumes them so much. So God has been so merciful to give us his word. He has given us his word. And he has shown us that we can find that fulfillment. We can find that fulfillment in him. And that is what is pleasing to him. Amen. So, next slide. All right, so this is a verse that I think that Ben has already mentioned recently. But for what that I was trying to portray, it was very applicable. So Adam slept with Eve, with his wife, and he conceived and had a son, Cain. She said, I've gotten a man with God's help. Then she had another baby, Abel. Abel was a herdsman, and Cain was a farmer. Time passed. Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. Abel also brought an offering, but from the firstborn animals of his herd, choice cuts of meat. God liked Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering didn't get his approval. Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. God spoke to Cain. Why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying and waiting for you, ready to pounce. It's ready to get you. You've got to master it. See, what happened was, is Abel's offering, he was so full of the love of God in his heart that he brought the best offering. It's not the action of Abel bringing his best offering to God. It was Abel's heart. Yes, Cain brought an offering to God, but he was doing it out of access. He was saying, God, here, I have to do this, so here you go. And, you know, I'm engaged to get married, and let's say Ben he does a lot of nice things for me. He washes my car sometimes. He cooks me dinner when I'm really straight. I'm really stressed. I mean, yeah, you could give him a hand. Give him a hand. But I'm just saying, what if he did it just because he knew he had to? What if he did all of these things to me, but his heart was missing? How would that make me feel? I wouldn't care about a thing that Ben has done for me based on purely an action. But the fact that he would wake up and love me anymore and every single morning, that is what I want in my spouse. And that is what God's saying. He's saying, just love me. Just love me. And as you love me, I'm going to pour out an abundance over you. You're going to fill up with a greater fulfillment than this world could ever give you. And with that overwhelming sense of all that God could give you, then you bring your offerings. Then those good deeds just pour out of you. If I love Ben every morning, I can't help but get him. I don't do this yet. But if I when we get married, I won't be able to help. No, I won't be able to help bringing his cup of coffee in the morning. I know that was awkward. I don't do this yet, but I'm just saying. In four months. But I wouldn't be able to help bring things for him, make him meals, do things for him, go grab something out in his car if he forgot it. I would shoot up from my chair because that love is inside of me and that love is pouring out for me. It's not like, oh, I guess I got to go out and do this just so, you know, I'm a good wife, I guess. I don't really know. I guess that's what a wife has to do is cook him dinner. Woohoo. But it's really... But if I nurture that relationship with Ben, spend time with him, talk every morning with him, actually hear his heart about me, his heart about the world, that's what God is looking for from us. He's not looking for our works. He's not looking for what we could bring to him, what we can do for him. He's just looking for our hearts. Amen. Amen. So, on to our next point. God causes our selfish, self-seeking plans to fail. Now, this is where my personal testimony comes in. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know me, but I actually love the sport of softball. It's one of my passions. And I first started out at the University of Buffalo, and I don't know if you guys know, but that's a Division I program. And I walked on, and it was a very scary experience. But I walked on, and I actually made the team, and it was so awesome. We got to travel all over the country. I got to see a lot of different schools, a lot of different cities. I learned so much about the game. I got to see really influential players of the game, and it was an amazing experience. But what happened is that I started to struggle with some classes because we were on the road so much, and God actually brought me back to Utica. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but Utica College is a Division III program, actually. So I talked to the coach, and he's like, yeah, we'd love to have you back, like, blah, 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 you know, we'd love to have you back. Now, the thing is that in my heart, I hung up the phone, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to rock this place. I mean, I'm going from a Division I program to a Division III program. I saw amazing pitching, and I saw all these different athletes that were, like, amazing. And I would be disappointed if I didn't rock this league. Let me know. And I was a believer at this point. Let me tell you. I hit the lowest batting average I hit on the whole team. The whole entire team. The lowest. I struck out. I hit grounder after grounder. I felt like I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And here, everybody's looking at me like, you came from a Division I program? And I'm like, I'm telling you. Now, it was humiliating. And I'm sitting here every single game. I'm coming back to God. I'm like, God, come on, man. What's going on? I'm playing for you. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm trying to play for your glory. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is that my heart was wrong. My heart was not there. My heart was to have the glory go to me and not God. And that's what God was talking about. He sees our hearts. He sees our true motives. So the next year, spring season started. And by the way, I'll never forget, the end of the year came last season, and I only had 2 years of eligibility, so this was my last shot. The last season came, and everybody else was getting awards, and coach was handing them out, and it was like, have you guys ever seen Mean Girls? It was like, all right, you, Regina Moses. No for you. One for you, Glenn Coco. And no for Gretchen Wieners. I don't know if you remember that part, but it literally was like, it was just like, I my heart sunk to my belly. I was like, this is terrible. So spring season came up again, and I started out the same way. My first opening season, I'm like hitting grounder after grounder after grounder. And I'm like not getting it. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, oh, that's my softball team, by the way. I'm like, God, what is going on here? What is going on? So I'm spending time in my word one day. And I look at the scripture, and it was a scripture saying that even though Jesus had equality with God, he still came to serve others. He came to serve other people. He had equality with God. He had the power. Everybody should have been bowing down to worship him, and he was washing his disciples' feet. Well, that struck with me. That resonated with me. I said, oh my goodness, I am doing this all wrong. So I prayed. I said, God, forgive me of my selfishness. This is ridiculous. And I made a commitment that day, I said, if my only job is to carry equipment, if my only job is to put balls on the tee for someone else, if my only job is literally to bring the dirty uniforms down to the dirty linens in the basement for them to be washed, then I'm going to do that with the absolute glory of God. Don't you know? I start hitting to the point where I can't even miss. It was not by my strength. I took on the role of a servant, and I said, God, for your glory, I sat at second base. I prayed for my teammates during practice. I said, God, my role is a servant for this team. No glory goes to myself. All the glory to you, oh God. And I just kept praying that over and over again. And that year, not only did I get awards, yeah, I got awards. I actually hit the highest on the team, but that's not the important part. The important part is for the first time in school history, our softball team hosted our conference tournament. Teachers came out. People came out. The dean of students, the president of the college came out. The board of trustees came out. And people were able to see my teammates play for the glory of God. Now, it wasn't me. It was the attitude of Christ that was contagious. My friends started to be servants of one another. They started serving one another. They said, hey, you want to grab some other balls? I'll feed the machine for you. I'll pick up that equipment for you. Don't worry about it. On my other teams, people would leave. Oh, freshmen get equipment. Not with this team. And I'm telling you what, every single one of them, I guarantee you, will never forget that season. Not because of our record, not because of anything else, but the bond that we created. And they don't even know it, but they were playing for the glory of God. They were serving one another. They were loving other people as themselves. They were just playing selfless, unselfish softball. And that, to me, spoke volumes. Amen. Next slide, please. Sorry. All right. So, I just want to stir up some thought with you guys. What are you building about yourself? What are you building in school? What kind of name are you bringing for yourself? What do people know you by? Do they know you by your sense of humor? Do they know you by your clothes and what they wear? Do they know you about how hard you work and your good grades? Because those are all great things, but when they become your identity, they become very dangerous. I'm here to tell you that Jesus came and mercifully draws us back to himself. He strips away that everything that we have, just like in that softball season, to turn our hearts back to him, to worship the one true King. And when you do that, when you turn yourself to God and you say, God, I'm an empty vessel for you, he says, now I can use you. Now I can lift you up. Now I could do the things that I've always wanted to do through you. And I just feel tonight, and this isn't in my notes, but I just feel tonight that God wants to birth something in you. He's called you for a specific purpose. There is something that he wants to do in your life that maybe you're not able to see yet. And I challenge every single person here to go into their prayer closet, start speaking to God, start talking to God. God, what do you see for my life? What do you see for my life? What kind of things are you going to call me to? Because it's when you lined yourself up with the will of God, he can take you higher than you could ever, ever have been before. He's the one who lifts you up. He's the one who takes you higher. He's the one that moves to do things that are just unimaginable. Now, the people in the Tower of Babel, at first when I read that story, it kind of seemed like, man, they were doing a good thing. They were building a city, and then God got mad and scattered them all over the place. See, that's a merciful act by God. That is a merciful act by God, because he slows our selfish desires. He strips everything away that we have so that we can turn to him and that he can be glorified. That it's actually in his mercy that he does that. Do you want to be the person that is known to just have a good sense of humor, who's got a great personality, who dated all the most popular kids in school, who has awesome clothes, great teeth, all-around amazing athlete? Or do you want to be the person to be known? That girl, she had something different about her. That guy, he was a guy, but he was kind to other people. He never cussed. I never heard anything bad come out of his mouth. I mean, he was just a pure, genuine kid. Or how about even one of my teammates? I was praying for my whole team. But one of my, and I asked this one girl every time, I said, who are you playing for? Because she would get in her head. I said, who are you playing for? And at the, no joke, one of the very last games of the season, she called me. She said, Dominique, I know it's real. I know it's real. What you're talking about, I know it's real. I know it's real. She was getting all excited because God came to her, no joke, in a dream and spoke to her. Spoke to her in a dream. And she knew that day that everything that I was saying, I didn't have to Bible thump and say, you know, turn and burn, or you'll burn and repent. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you, you could be a testimony for Jesus. You could be a testimony for Jesus just by picking up equipment. You could be a testimony for Jesus throwing out your lunch at school, while the person next to you, you see someone left something, you throw it away. Somebody sees that. They see something different about you. What do you want to build with your life? Do you want to see friends of yours in heaven? Or do you want to build a name that's going to pass away in this world and just be gone as soon as you leave for heaven? Or do you want to sow seed so deep and multiply what you've been given and tell people about the love of Christ and talk to people about the love of Christ? We have been given something so special. Something so special. And I just pray that God stirs all of us even more afresh, that testimonies start to fill this place. I just want to ask you guys a question. Is there anybody here who wants to build that passion inside of them? Do they want to be used by God in a mighty way? Now, I'm not going to make you come up front, and I'm not going to make you do anything, but I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so I could pray with you tonight. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to ask the Lord into the room tonight, and I'm going to just say, God, thank you so much for the lives of all these people. Thank you, Lord God, for all of these vessels that you have brought into the kingdom, Lord God, that you are going to use here on earth, Lord God, that you didn't just save them just so they could be saved and go to heaven, but that you can use their life for a mighty purpose, for something huge. I pray, God, that you just stir us afresh, Lord God, that you give us opportunities to preach the gospel at school, in the hallway, on our sports team, and even in our family, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that people start coming to us looking for something more, looking for something greater, looking for something in life that they could hold on to because they've built their identity on something false. They've built their identity on their good looks. They've built their identity on their friends group. But Lord, we want to be set apart. We want to be set apart for you, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for every single person in this room, Lord. And I just ask you tonight, Lord, do something with our lives. Birth a new purpose in us, Lord God, that we can't see with our own eyes, but that you have to reveal your will to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we seek you, we find you, Jesus. We love you, and we just ask this all in your precious name. Amen.
And definitely, I feel challenged. We talk about a bold prayer. God, take away the selfish desires. Can you imagine trying to pray that? Like, you know, what things, you know, what do we just do? Those things that we just kind of pursue. We all do it all the time. You know, something else we're slightly putting before God a little bit. You know, we're always doing that. And so imagine that. Imagine just giving it to God's will. Break into our small groups. So grab your chair, please. Head back and send it to your small groups, guys.